Today, we come together again to study the book of Hebrews, and our study today is in Hebrews part 1, and we're on lesson number 3. So it's still in this lesson an overview, but we're going to touch on chapter 1. So let us begin with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again before such a great and mighty God, asking you to teach us your precious word. Speak to us through your word, Father, and give us the knowledge and wisdom and understanding of your truths, and help us, Father, to live it and go out to share it with others in our life every day. And we need you now, and we can only learn through you, through your Holy Spirit. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Now, kind of reviewing, we always like to start a new lesson by reviewing what we have learned prior to this. In our overview, we learned that what Hebrews is about and why it was written. And we learned that it's a word of exhortation, and it's about Jesus, our high priest. So he tells us to let us draw near with confidence. And this is repeated throughout the letter of exhortation. But also, as you have read through getting an overview, reading through all 13 chapters, you learn that it's a warning about listening to the word of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus is compared in this study with several Old Testament people and things of the Old Testament. So, who was it written to? It was written to Jewish believers that had heard the word of the Lord from those who had heard from Jesus himself. And the author of Hebrews was one of those who had probably heard from one of Jesus' apostles and not directly from Jesus himself. And we have learned in our study so far that these Jewish believers that the writer is writing this letter, this epistle to, they had endured a lot of trials and troubles and sufferings, and it was to a certain degree, so the author wanted them to hold fast and to endure to the end. And we want to notice in this study that some of these had turned away. So the author wanted to visit the recipients along with Timothy, who had been released from prison. And he mentioned that others were in prison. Evidently, they were there for their faith in Christ. So he wrote to exhort the believers to endure and hold fast to the end. And in order to do that, they needed to draw near with confidence to their high priest, Jesus, who is able to save forever. So, we want to now look at Hebrews as a whole. It's divided into segments. It's in segment divisions. And I just want to briefly go over these divisions so that we know, if you want to make notes. Hebrews chapter 1 through 2, we learn that God spoke in His Son. And then in Hebrews 3 through 10, it was considered Jesus, the apostle and high priest. And then in Hebrews chapter 11 through 13, Jesus, author, founder, and perfecter of faith. So that gives you an idea of what the book of Hebrews is about. It's looking at each one of these divisions that, or segment divisions of this letter that it was written. So we're going to begin by reading first chapter 1, and then we will discuss some of that study, but not to a complete depth, because we'll be studying it again in lesson 4. But I'll begin reading in chapter 1 of Hebrews, verse 1. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. And He, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory, it says His glory pertaining to God, and the exact reputation of God's nature, His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power, when He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has inherited a more excellent name than they. So, what does the text say then in these first 4 verses about the Son, about Jesus? First of all, we learn that He is heir of all things. He is also creator. And we'll study more about that in our next lesson. He is the very radiance of God's glory. And He is the exact representation of God's nature, the imprint of God's own nature. And He upholds all things by the word of His power. And He has made purification of sins. And then He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And He became much better, superior than the angels. So He inherited a more excellent name than the angels. So that's what we have just read in these first 4 verses. Now I want to go ahead and read 5 through 14. For to which of the angels did He say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me." And when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, God Himself says, "And let all the angels of God worship Him." And of the angels He says, "Who makes His angels winds, and His ministers a flame of fire?" But of the Son He says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. Verse 9, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will become old like a garment, and like a mantle, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will also be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? So let's look now at these verses 5 through 14 and look at the comparison. These comparisons are filled with Old Testament references, and these are some of the things that God spoke to by the prophets. And we learned in these verses the Son is better than the angels. And also, going back to verse 5, that he is God's Son. And verse 6 says that God will again bring the firstborn, who is Jesus, into the world. So we're going to study in depth in our next lesson all of this chapter and what it teaches about the Son. So what then do we see in verse 6 that it says about the angels? And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. So the angels are to worship the firstborn of God, who is his Son, Jesus. So what does verse 7 teach about angels? Let's go back and read that verse. And the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire? So God makes angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. Angels serve God. Now look at verses 8 and 9. But the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. So what are these verses saying? But the Son of God and his throne is forever, and he will rule in righteousness. And we see in these verses that God anointed him above his companions, these angels. So let's read now again verse 10 and 12 and see what it teaches about the Son, 10 through 12. You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands, and they will perish, but you remain, and they all will become like an old garment, and like a mantle, you will roll them up like a garment. they will also be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. So here he is talking about he's the Son who laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens. And we'll study more about that, because we know in the book of John it was written, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and there was nothing created except by Him. So we're seeing here that He will exist, Jesus, after the heavens and the earth are rolled up and changed. That means after the end of time in the book of Revelation, how that we learned that Jesus will rule and reign upon the heavens and the earth, and He will exist forever. Oh, He is eternal, and He is the same in the beginning, throughout the end. He's the same forever. Now, what do we see in verse 13? Let's look at that verse. But to which of the angels has He ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool at your feet"? Now, this compares with verse 3, and I'm going to go back and read verse 3. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So we see that Jesus, it says that God Himself, He says, which of the angels has God ever said, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool"? So after making purification of sin, Jesus sat down at God's right hand, and He's going to be there until His enemies are made a footstool for His feet. And according to verse 6, He will come into the world again. Let's look at verse 6. And when He again brings the firstborn into the world. So we know that Jesus went away after the resurrection, but He told His disciples that He was coming again. And we know, according to the Word of God, that He teaches us that He will come back and set up His kingdom and rule and reign upon this world. And we, the saints that were caught up in the rapture, will rule and reign with Him. And He'll rule forever with righteousness. So what does the last verse then, verse 14, say about the angels? I'll read that verse again. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? So they are ministering spirits, and that compares of that with verse 7. And the angels, to the angels, He says, who makes His angels winds and ministers a flame of fire. So the angels are ministering spirits, and God created them to minister and to render service for these believers and us today that have inherited salvation. Now, just to review, I'm just going to go through the rest of these chapters just as a review that we will be studying in depth Hebrews 2. And we're going to see how that the second chapter of Hebrews relates to chapter 1. And we see that where God spoke in His Son and He said to pay attention to what He, Jesus, has said. And there's a comparison between what was spoken in the Old Testament through the prophets and the angels and what was spoken by the Lord Jesus and others in the New Testament. And His word of salvation, we learn in chapter 2, was confirmed by signs and wonders by those who heard it from Him. And in chapter 2, verses 5 through 18, we see a contrast between the Son and the angels. For a while, Jesus was made lower than the angels, and we'll get into depth in that as we study chapter 2, so that He tasted death for everyone, and He became flesh and blood. But He doesn't give help to angels, only to people. He gives aid to those who are tempted. And now, looking at a review in chapters 3 and 10, we learn in this segment there's a flow of thought in these chapters 3 through 10. It says in chapter 3, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. His faithfulness is compared to Moses. And then he says, therefore, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. And this is a similar warning that was in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And He teaches in these verses to hold fast our confidence, our assurance to the end. And do not be like those, He compares it with those in the wilderness who didn't believe and disobeyed. And now we see in these verses 3 and 4 the word rest. And rest is entering His rest by faith, by belief. And those who don't believe harden their hearts when they hear His voice. And we will get into depth into the word rest as we go further in our study. So we're to hold fast. He teaches us in this segment, chapters 3 through 10, we're to hold fast our confession and draw near with confidence because of Jesus, our high priest. Now, chapter 5, 1 through 10, 1, chapter 5, 1 through 10, 18, we see a contrast. Jesus, our high priest, with the Levitical priest, and we will study that. It goes back into discussing how that things were carried out by Levitical priests. And he says, even though some might shrink back not to listen to the voice of God and believe, he's saying in these verses in chapter 5 through 10, 18, to hold fast your testimony, your belief. And these chapters, 5 through 10, They compared Jesus with the Old Testament. And that's what we'll learn as we study. And the Old Testament tells about Levitical priesthood and sacrificial system of worship associated with the tabernacle. And in these chapters, the author of Hebrews told that Jesus is much better than all that in the Old Testament. He makes perfect those who draw near. And he exhorted them to press on to maturity. And that's speaking to us today, because the book was not only written to the Hebrews, it was written for us as believers. And also in those verses, those chapters, he warned them about continuing in willful sin, because of willfully sinning leads to judgment. And then in chapters 11 through 13, and remember, this is just reviewing these. Every time that we review, every time that we read, every time that we get into the Word, the more that we can understand. So Hebrews 11 through 13, starting at 10:38, we see how that chapter 10, 38 and 39 relate to chapters 11 through 13. It talks about what the author is exhorting in these verses. He says the righteous live by faith, and we have faith to the preserving of our souls because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And even the men of old received commendation by their faith. All of the prophets and those that believed in the Old Testament, they had to receive their salvation just as we do today by faith. By faith, we receive salvation by the grace of God and by the love of Jesus by his death. But all of salvation comes through faith. And now Jesus is the author, founder, and perfecter of faith. He endured. And in these last chapters, the author is saying, you endure. We're to endure to the discipline from God, the God that loves us. And then he says, don't refuse him who is speaking. And that is in chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. And we're, as believers, to show gratitude. And the letter of the last chapter ends with instructions that are acceptable to the service of God. So, are we as believers willing to endure? Are we going to hold fast? Do we want to draw nearer to God? Yes, that's why that we are studying His Word. And to draw nearer to Him, we must be obedient. We must pray. We must read the Word. We must ask Him to teach us and lead us through the Holy Spirit. So let us close in prayer. Father, we know that we cannot learn of you without the Holy Spirit. But because we believe, and because that has been instilled into us because of our faith, we know that we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And I pray, as we study your word, that each and every one that is studying in class and those that are studying by listening, that the Holy Spirit will give us the wisdom and the knowledge to know you more, to know Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our great high priest. And we know that we can't do anything without you, but by your grace, we are able to do the things that you would have us to do. And we just want to be obedient to your word, Father, and bring you honor and glory. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.